This morning we're taking a little break from looking at worship. We'll pick up on that theme next week. But our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As we prepare to hear God's word to us, let us join together in prayer. Well, God, we thank you for your wonderful grace that you reveal to us in so many ways. We thank you for the grace of your salvation. We thank you for the grace of your promises. We thank you that in your grace you do not leave us to wonder your plans and your purposes, but you have revealed them to us in your word. And so, Lord, I pray that as your word is read and proclaimed this morning, that you would, by your grace, send your Holy Spirit, that you would take these words that are read and that are spoken and make them God's word to us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature's objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Well, I know probably over time, especially you have all heard, a genre of jokes known as the good news, bad news jokes. And if you don't know any, talk to Garrett. I'm sure he's got, a dozen of them he can tell you off the top of his head. But here's some good news, bad news for pastors. Good news, you baptized 7 people in the river today. The bad news, you lost 2 in the current. The good news, the elders accepted your job description just the way you wrote it. Bad news, they formed a search committee to find someone capable of filling the position. Good news, your women's softball team finally won a game. Bad news, they beat your men's softball team. Good news, church attendance is up dramatically the last 3 Sundays. Bad news, you are on vacation. Good news, the congregation has raised money to send you and your wife to the Holy Land. Bad news, they are stalling until the next war. Good news, the elders sent you a good get well card when you were in the hospital. Bad news, the vote was 8-7. Good news, Mrs. Jones is wild about your sermons. Bad news, Mrs. Jones is also wild about SpongeBob SquarePants. Now, these are some silly, maybe not all that funny, examples of good news turning to bad, but that's something that we experience all too often. But what about the other way around? Is there anything, any way that bad news can turn into good? Well, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus talks something about that in our lesson. And just to set the context of it, Paul starts out telling the good news of what God has done. in chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, we have Paul's glorious thanksgiving for all that God's people have in Jesus Christ. Good news is that they have been chosen. They have been chosen to be holy and blameless, set apart for the purposes of God. The good news is they have been adopted as God's children. We have a new relationship with God, as not simply as those who are far away, but as the children of God. Good news is that we have been redeemed and forgiven by God's grace, and we have been given a revelation of God's purposes for the world and for our own lives. Good news is that we have been chosen to participate in God's purposes, that everything would be to His glory, and that we have been sealed by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning we're going to look in chapter 2 at how God has addressed the bad news of the human condition through the good news of life by His grace. Now, as originally written, this passage flows directly from the section immediately preceding it, which proclaims the power of Jesus' resurrection and His exaltation over all things. And he goes on in this passage to proclaim that that same power which raised up Jesus is at work in the life of each believer. Now, the passage, as we read, begins with a sobering description of this human condition outside of God's grace. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and the sin. And in the original Greek language, the word dead means dead, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the kingdom of the power of the air, a spirit now at work in those who are obedient. Also, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The bad news in this brief paragraph is that we are dead. Paul's contention is not that we are facing death at some future point, but that we were already dead. That in our sin we are cut off from God, and though we physically exist, you know, we live and we breathe, we're cut off from the source of true life. We're cut off from everything that really matters. John Calvin wrote in his commentary on this, "Spiritual death is nothing else but the alienation of the souls from God. We are all born as dead men and live as dead men until we become partakers in the life of Christ." And the reality of this is reflected in the way that we live. We follow the ways of the world rather than after the ways of God. We live under the dominion of evil powers, and we follow self-serving patterns of life following our desires. Those who walk in this way, Paul writes, are by nature object of God's wrath. In following this way, a sinful humanity became subject to the dreadful judgment of God. Now, quite honestly, this is one Bible passage that we don't really like to emphasize in our own day. We say that people need Jesus to make their lives better, to find fulfillment and joy, and you know, there's a measure of truth in that. But we ignore the reality that outside of Christ, people are spiritually dead. Outside of Christ, people will face God's judgment. Outside of Christ, people are lost. And were that the whole story, we probably should just throw up our hands in despair. But then Paul goes on from bad news to proclaim the good news in verses 4 through 7. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we are dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ. So what Paul says is that, you know, here's the bad news. You're dead because of sin. You are separated from God. You are living under the influence and the power of this world. And in and of yourself, there's nothing you can do about it. But the good news is this. Because of God's great love for us, God has done something. You know, that Bible verse that many of us memorized when we were in elementary school, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And through God's work in Jesus Christ, we, by grace alone, have a number of benefits. The first is that we have been made alive in Christ even when we were dead in sin. In Jesus Christ, the picture that's drawn in the New Testament is, yes, we receive forgiveness, but we also receive new life. We are connected now to the God who is the source of all true life, and we have been, as Paul describes it in Romans, raised to new life in him. As Jesus died and then was raised to new life, the picture that Paul draws is that as we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we die to sin, we die to old life, and we are raised to new life with him. In parts of the ancient church, that was illustrated beautifully in the sacrament of baptism. Is in the early church, people were baptized, they became part of the church as after a long process of being catechized, of being discipled in the faith. And then often, usually the night before Easter, the church would celebrate baptism. And the story goes is that would go down into the water, wearing their old clothes. They would go under the water, symbolizing death to the old life, be raised anew, and they would be given a new robe, symbolizing that in Jesus Christ they had been given new life. And that, you know, kind of points to what has happened to us. We're not simply, you know, forgiven of our sins so that we can go along living as we did before, but in Jesus Christ we have been given to new life. We've been connected to the God who is the source of all life by grace and by grace alone. He then goes on to describe that, and it's connected to this, is he has raised us up with Christ. Whereas before we followed the world and the flesh, in Christ we have died to that and we've been raised to new life. We have been seated at the heavenly realms with Christ. We are no longer under the tyranny of this fallen world and of the evil one. We are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and in him we have hope and we have spiritual authority. We have new life. And how did this all come about? Well, in verses 8 through 10 we see, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, these two verses sum up Paul's understanding of the gospel. How do we come into new life? How are we made right with God? How do we break out of the old and into the new? Well, it's not by striving or self-improvement. It's not through becoming religious. It is by grace. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor and goodness, which God has poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we've done to deserve it. It is freely given. And it is received by faith. It is received by faith. And what is faith? Well, faith is simply trusting in God for our salvation. You know, there's an acronym for faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. To have faith in Jesus Christ means that we no longer trust in our own ability to get right with God. We no longer trust in our, you know, religious participation to, you know, earn God's favor.
we no longer trust in that, you know, if I can just try a little harder to live in the right way, God will, you know, think I'm all right and the good will outweigh the bad and I'm going to do okay. No, faith means I put aside all of that. All of that. And trust in Christ and in His work alone. There's nothing in our salvation for which we can take credit. There's nothing in our works or our wisdom, our goodness, or in our faithfulness about which we can boast. Paul says it is all from God and by grace. It is all from God and by grace. Now, that does not mean that we are called into passivity. Some people hear the word of grace and they say, well, we can do whatever we want and live however we want. God, in His grace, will forgive us. No, that's not what Paul is saying. What we are called to, then, is to recognize that we are called into a new life with a new purpose. God has a purpose for us. We have been created for a purpose, and that in response to that, God's grace, we are called to live by faith into a life of obedience and service. It means we are to live by faith into a life in which we are becoming the people that God created us to be and doing the things that God created us to do. But it is all by grace. You know, grace has saved us. Grace assures us. Grace compels us to live with Christ and to live for Christ. And the good news to the bad that we see in chapter 2 of Ephesians is that it is all by grace. And Paul extends, you know, through these words, the invitation to the Ephesian church, and he extends that invitation, reminds us of it all of us of it, that we are to put our trust in God's grace. You know, there's the hymn that, one of my favorites, "My hope is built on nothing less and Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's grace, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, my striving, my religiousness, my good works are sinking sand." Look to Christ. Trust in Christ. Trust in His grace alone. And now to our great God and His Son Jesus Christ be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.